First John chapter 3 today, if you'd like to open to that. First John chapter 3, beginning verse 11. The book of 1 John, of course, was written by the Apostle John, a cousin of Jesus. He wrote the book to expose the false teachers of the day, to encourage the believers, and to give us some practical, and the people then, some practical instructions on how we're to live. We're going to start here in verse 11 and just go through the end of the chapter today and just see the things that John had for those people and for us as well. Let's begin in verse 11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. This encouragement to love one another can be taken many different ways. Some people may look at this and say, oh yeah, that's what we're supposed to do that. Sure, check that off the list. I understand that. But sometimes I don't think we take it as seriously as we should. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 22. Here where Jesus gave this same instruction. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commands." This command to love is so important that Jesus said, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. This is not something we should take lightly, we should overlook, that we should think, oh, I know that, but to understand how important it is very difficult for us. So let's use this lesson today to remind us of this. This is a very important lesson. If we could learn and practice this, of course, we would be more God-like and we would be more pleasing to Him. The people in John's day, they needed to be reminded of it, and we do too. You may think, oh, it's easy to love my brother. It's easy to love God. Well, you may not know all the brothers. Some brothers are not as easy to love as others. And we may think we are loving our brothers, but sometimes we may not be. We need to be careful and do what we should. What are some of the things that keeps us from loving our brothers like we should? Well, one may be pride, our self-pride, our selfishness, our envy, or sometimes we have a superior attitude towards people. These are the kind of things that keeps us from loving our brothers like we should. The next verse gives us a warning if we don't love like we should. Verse 12. "Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous." Of course, this is talking about the famous Cain and Abel story from the book of Genesis. Cain killed his brother Abel out of envy or hate. It's a very powerful emotion, envy and hate. One that caused to kill his own brother, which is the opposite of the way of the attitude we should have towards our brother. This attitude of envy and hate should have no part in a Christian's life. It leads to bad behavior. Hopefully, we would never think we would kill someone, but there's a lot of other things that envy and hate may lead to, much less than murder, but still a very serious situation. Putting others down to improve how you look. Well, it would be something we would do because of envy and hate. And that is something that we know that happens and we may even do ourselves. Putting someone else down to improve yourself, of course, it never works long term. It never makes yourself look better long term. And it certainly never makes yourself look better with God. It does not help us with God. We should self-evaluate and make sure that our actions are never as a result of envy or hate as Cain's was. The next verse tells us about the world hating us. Verse 13, "Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you." This world hates, the world hates you as Cain hated Abel, is one way to look at that. Cain hated Abel to the point where he was He did the ultimate. He killed his brother. The world hates Christians because the world hates Christ. The world hated Christ for many reasons. He was not killed because he was a righteous person. He was killed because they hated him. They killed him not because he was evil, because he was righteous. It's the same reason Cain killed his brother Abel. Abel was righteous. Cain was envious and jealous of that, and so he killed him. The world hates the light. The light is restrictive, it's controlling, it's condemning. And the world does not like to be condemned or held accountable. So the world hates Christ and it hates Christians in general. As Christians, we're supposed to represent Christ. We're supposed to be light. And for those type reasons, sometimes the world hates us, and we just have to know that's part of the situation we're in and try to overcome it. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Loving our brother is a sign that we know Christ and have a relationship with him. But the opposite is true also. If we don't love our brothers, if we find we're not acting properly toward our brothers, it tells us we don't have a relationship with Christ. That's one of the ways this is such an important command, is if we don't love like we should, then we don't have a relationship with Christ. Self-evaluation is needed in this area to make sure our attitude toward our brother is proper. What is your attitude towards your brother? Verse 15, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This verse is about as clear as anyone can make it. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. He makes it very strong. If you hate, he equates it with murder. Very serious. Very serious situation to be in. If you find yourself in hate towards a brother, he's telling us that it is equal to murder. I can simplify it a little bit more for you, though. If you hate your brother, you will not go to heaven. How's that for simplification? If you hate your brother, you will not go to heaven. The same as a murderer will not go to heaven. It's that important. If you have hate towards your brother, you must get rid of it. If you want to go to heaven, it is that important. Your soul is in danger. If you hate, you're in darkness, and the child of God is supposed to be in light. Well, the next verse tells us about what love is. Verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Our example of love is Christ, of course. And the challenge for us is, do we love such that we would give our life for our brother? Would we give our life for our brother? If I stood here and asked you to raise your hand, I'm sure I could say enough to where I could get almost everybody to raise their hand and say, yes, yes, I would give my life for my brother. I would do that. But, you know, sometimes I think we might say that is because we know it's not going to happen. We're very confident of that. That we're not going to have to give our life for our brother. And so, yeah, we would say, sure, I'll do that. But the next verse gives us a test to kind of help us see whether or not we really would give our life for our brother. You know, we might say, yes, I'd give my life for my brother. But the next verse gives us a test to test ourselves to see if we would. And let's take verse 17 and 18 together this time. If anyone has mere material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. You see, just saying you love your brother is not enough. It's not enough. If we will not share our possessions with our brothers, then we would never give our life for them. You see, if we hold our possessions more valuable than we hold our brother, you think we would really give our life for him? Well, the answer is no, we would not. But so this is a test. If we are not sharing our possessions with our brothers, it's an indication that we would not lay down our life for our brother, which is an indication that we don't love them, which is an indication we don't love God. You see, our actions show our love. if you never do anything for your brother, then you really don't love them like the Bible tells us to. Oh, you may like them and you may have some affection toward them, but you don't have the sacrificial love that the Bible talks about having. You know, if your spouse claims they love you, but they never do anything for you, you've got a problem, you see. It's the actions that shows our love. It's not just the words. Our love is revealed by our actions. You know we can't do everything for everybody that has a need, but I know, and you do too, is that we can do something for someone, and so we should get busy showing our love for our brothers by our actions. Let's take verse 19 to 20 together. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. And it's a good chance a lot of you have a translation that reads differently from the one I just read. There seems to be a lot of conflict among the translators about how these verses are supposed to be laid out. Are they supposed to be two sentences or one sentence, or where's the period supposed to be? So it's kind of confusing, even for them. But I believe this can be said about these verses, is that if our hearts condemn us for some bad action that we've done, then that's a good indication that we belong to God. However, it's our heart. How our heart feels about what we do is not equal to what God knows about our heart. And so I think maybe that's a summary of what those two verses mean. Is that if our heart condemns us, that's a good thing. It's an indication we're on the right path. But God knows us truly, and it's His judgment is what's going to matter. Okay, let's take verse 21 and 22 together. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. This is very similar to chapter 2, verse 28, which says, And now, dear children, continue in Him so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. Confidence before God. This is a wonderful thing that we should have if we are obedient children. See, that's the condition. The condition is obedience. If we are His obedient children, we have a relationship with Him. And that gives us confidence. And it allows us to ask for His blessings. You see, one follows the other. We don't just go to asking for the blessings without believing in Him and having confidence in Him and having a relationship with Him. That's how it's all built together. We are allowed to ask for blessings if we are obedient to Him. That's how He has it worked out for us. Verse 23. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He has commanded us. That's His command. His command is two parts. His command is to believe and to love. He doesn't say believe only. He doesn't say love only. His command is to believe and love. It's an indication of what our heart is like. If you truly believe in Jesus, if you truly believe in Jesus, you will obey His commands. And His commands includes loving as we should. Loving sacrificially towards your brothers. If your brother has a need, you work to solve that need. If your brother needs encouragement and support, you do what you can to give encouragement and support. You don't let that be up to somebody else. If you love your brother, you step in and you do what's needed to take care of the situation, to show the love your brother needs. Well, let's take verse 24, and then we'll wrap up. Verse 24. Those who obey His commands live in Him, and He in them, and this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gives us. But we can only be in Jesus if we obey. And if we obey, we can know without doubting He lives in us. Obeying, though, these days, is really not the popular part of religion. I would say right now, in our time we're living in this country, the popular part of religion maybe is love. People stress that. People stress worship. People stress service. But here this verse tells us, obeying. Without obeying, we're not pleasing to God. You can worship, you can love, you can serve, but if you don't obey, you're not pleasing to God. And that is a very important part of our life. And so we should, our neighbors, our friends, should see Jesus living in us. Now, if I asked your neighbor, if I went and knocked on your neighbor's door and asked them about you, what would your neighbor have to say? What would they say about you? Would they have good things to say? Or would they say, I really don't know him. He keeps his yard mowed well. But would he have anything good to say with you religiously? Would he say things about your service to God or your service to your fellow man? Maybe he would. I have an uncle that has a terrible relationship with his neighbor, and he's had a terrible relationship with him for decades. They fussed and feuded about all the things neighbors fuss and feud about. And, you know, we just really shouldn't be that way. They've even taken each other to court over issues. You know, if I asked your neighbor about you, and he started saying those kind of things, I hope you'd be embarrassed. And I hope none of us are that way. Our neighbors need to see Jesus living in us every day, going about our business. By the way, my uncle lives next door to his brother. That's a shameful situation, isn't it? And I hope none of us is in a bad situation like that. I hope our hearts are the way they should be. So let's get ready for our invitation song. Do you love God? Then we've been taught today, or reminded today, that we must love our brother. Do you need to reconcile with your brother? Are there issues between you and your brother that you need to make right? Well, then don't wait. Don't wait to take care of those kind of things. Do you need have things that you need to make right with the Lord? Well, don't wait for those things either. Take care of the things that you need to in your life so you can be pleasing to God. Today is the day for you to do what's right. We invite you to come forward as we sing if you need help in the congregation.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come for the good day. If there's no other announcements, then we'll be dismissed in a word prayer.